Cutler shotgun. Vikings rush forward. Jay back to pass. Fires over the middle. Intercepted by Harrison Smith. Here comes the rookie to the 40. Sprints down the sidelines. 30, 20. He's to the 10. Angles left. Touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening. Welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park with Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. I'm Paul Allen. Offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave is coming up shortly. Rookie left tackle Matt Khalil. He'll also join the show. So will Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. And we're going to be talking about the Vikings and the St. Louis Rams this Sunday on the Vikings Radio Network. And this interview with head coach Leslie Frazier is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Happy holidays, Coach Frazier. How are things?
Thank you.
Dynamite win last week. Defense is playing pretty well right now, isn't it?
They are. They're making some things happen, which is what we need, and you know we're going to need to continue it against St. Louis.
Bend but don't break against the Bears. When you look back at that game log, you, of course, look back at each play time after time to analyze how your guys are going. Mm-hmm. But when you look back at the game and you see that the Bears would drive 41 yards and 49 yards and 60 yards and 7 plays and 13 plays, and then get stopped on third down or stopped on fourth down. December football, a lot of winning teams predicate their approach on running and playing good defense this time of the year. That's what you guys are doing.
No question. I mean, that's the key to our success. If we're going to have success in the month of December, is playing similar to the way we played on Sunday against Chicago. We're going to need to do the same thing against St. Louis.
And you got to take it on the road, obviously. 6-1 at home. Only one win on the road this year. But, you know, you've been very competitive in a lot of those games outside of the Bears game. So it's not like you're getting blown out on the road. What are some keys to getting over the hump this weekend?
Well, when you look at our games on the road, when you analyze it, the turnovers and the lack of turnovers on the road have created some issues for us. So we got to find a way to win the turnover battle. We've been, you know, I think, minus 7 in our losses on the road. Yep. So it's hard to win when that's the case. We have to end up in plus on the road.
You know, and as cliched as it may be, yeah, football fans may be listening right now saying, well, that's great. You know, tell me something I don't know. It's the second most important facet of football behind the final score. And when you look at the Rams this year, Leslie, 6-6-1, they're plus 5 in their wins and they're minus 5 in their losses. And then you talk about the turnover differential when you guys go on the road. Then you look at the three shining moments you've had this year. You won the turnover battle against Chicago, at home against Detroit, on the road against Detroit, even the Niners earlier this year. A lot of it does come down to that.
Yeah, it seems simplistic, but in reality, that's our league. I mean, it's so even across the board. Everybody has talent, so now it comes back to execution, how well you can execute. And part of that is not turning the ball over, being able to take the ball away.
I want to talk about your middle linebacker, Jasper Brinkley, for a second. He's had a fair amount of missed tackles during the course of the season in his first full season as a middle linebacker, but I think, you know, from looking at it from afar, he seems to be finishing pretty well right now, averaging 12 tackles per game. And his drops for what you expect of him in pass coverage, personally, I don't think they've ever been better. Am I right?
You're right about that. He's really begun to improve as the season is going on. He's probably playing his best football of the year right now, which is important because we need to be playing well across the board this month. And so it's been good for us to see him begin to mature and come along like we hoped he would.
So on Harrison Smith's interception for the touchdown, does Jasper Brinkley get an assist for his drop in front of Brandon Marshall, forcing Jay Cutler to throw it higher than he wanted to?
That was a great drop by Jasper. I mean, he got in the throwing lane, got in front of the quarterback and the wide receiver, and forced the quarterback to have to elevate the football. So, yeah, he probably should get an assist somehow in football.
What about the other linebackers who play the most, Chad Greenway, Aaron Henderson? How are they playing?
Chad's having an outstanding season. He's really leading our team in so many ways, not just in tackles, but his leadership as well. And Aaron has really come on. Just like Jasper, he's beginning to play better football for us.
Was the plan against Chicago from a kicking standpoint to plop the ball in there and force Eric Weems to bring it out? You know, when, clearly with the 41 touchbacks into the game, Blair is capable of booming it into the stands. What, was that the plan?
That was. That was our strategy, to go into it and get some height on the ball so that we could cover it and try to pin them down inside the 20. And we were successful in doing that. I think the average drive start was about 7 to 17 yard line, which is fantastic.
Some terrific under the radar matchups this weekend. You know, a lot of people are going to pay money to see Adrian Peterson. They have Sam Bradford, nice defense. They blitz a lot, very aggressive. We'll talk about them momentarily. But the rookie kickers, Blair Walsh and Greg Zuerlein. This Greg Zuerlein for them, he's the only kicker in NFL history to hit a field goal from 50 or beyond and 60 or beyond in the same game. Big leg, right?
Oh, man, big leg. He attempted a 66-yarder that he almost made.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's pretty impressive. It's going to be quite a duel between those two kickers.
And you got and Matt Khalil's pretty good at blocking field goals. I don't think he's had one in several games now, but he's pretty good at that, isn't he?
Matt does a great job of getting the push. Our entire field goal block team, they've done a good job all season long. And I'm sure that St. Louis and understanding what they're doing schematically, they might try us, so we'll have to be aware.
How about your kick coverage, too? I'm leaving your Monday press conference, and I walked by special teams coordinator Mike Prefer's office. I popped in, how you doing, happy holidays, blah, blah, blah. What'd you get him for, Mike? 15, 15, and 15, cut me off in the middle, and I can't remember it exactly, but he went, actually, 11, 13, 14, and 17, and it averaged out to this at 13 point whatever. Yeah. Boy, is he prideful in that kick coverage team.
Oh, our kick coverage was outstanding on Sunday against Chicago. It was so good to see our guys swarm to the football the way they did, both on the punt team, on our kickoff coverage. It was a sight to behold and really energized our entire team.
So Adrian goes for 154 and 2 a week after he goes for 200 and change and at Lambeau Field. After those two games, and now I've heard it from him probably for every game over about the last month and a half, I talked to him after each game. He claims that he's like two broken missed tackles or a couple of cuts here and there from having like 250 every game. is he making that up, or is he really that close?
He's that close. I mean, it's amazing to watch him run, as we all know, and to see how close he comes every time he touches the ball or breaking a long one, even though people are packing the box with 8 and 9 man fronts. So I wouldn't disagree. I mean, he's very close to getting that 250-yard gain.
On that 51-yard run to start the Bears game, then he pounds it in a few plays later. In watching back film with you for Vikings game plan of that, you could see the patience that is Adrian Peterson, and that wasn't always the case with him.
Not at all. I mean, there were times, you know, in the past you'd see him running up guys' back and not letting things develop because he once he got the football, he wanted to go. He wanted to sprint. But now he's become much more of a patient runner, which has allowed our guys to hold up blocks and give him the seam that he so necessarily desires. And now it's there, and he's hitting it, and we're getting some big runs because of it.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Matt Khalil coming up a little later. With your quarterback, right after the Bears game, you said Christian Ponder gave you exactly what was expected. What did that mean?
Well, we went into the game with a game plan of how we wanted to attack Chicago based on the things we had learned from 2 weeks earlier when we played them. And part of that game plan was not turning the ball over, being able to run the ball, establish the run early, and play a physical style of football on offense and defense. And once we get off to a 14-point lead, Paul, we had the game right where we wanted it, and now it was a matter of our being able to handle, you know, what we needed to get handled. And Christian did a terrific job of doing everything that we asked him to do at the quarterback position.
So the nuances of the game, the not forcing it, handle some third downs. If Rudolph is doubled or tripled, don't force it in there. Live to play another play or another series. That's mostly what you expected of him in that game, and he gave it to you.
No doubt. And the way the game unfolded was the way we had planned it as a staff. Now, it doesn't always go according to plan, but it did in this case. So the thing we needed him to do was to make sure you direct our football team and then execute the way we needed him to execute. And that meant in the fourth quarter coming up with some big third down conversions, completions, which he did, making sure that we got us into the right runs, the right passes at the line of scrimmage, which he did. So he did everything that we asked him to do.
I'm going to ask Bill Musgrave, the offensive coordinator, this later. What did Christian do wrong on the underthrow interception where Jarius Wright had a touchdown?
You know, on that play, and I'm sure Bill will mention this as well, you know, he probably could have stayed in the pocket a little bit longer. He drifted to his left and, ended up putting himself in peril's way. So got to do a little bit better at being able to be patient. And if he does, I mean, he'll make that throw.
Well, this may be a dumb question, but how do the greats like Tom Brady just stand there. I mean, when you see Brady, he just stands there and doesn't move, and his head looks all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then right before they get him, he makes a shifty little slide or something. How does that become second nature for a quarterback?
I think some of it is experience and just being on task, you know, being on the job for a period of time. And I think Christian will get that. You know, we got to keep putting him in situations, keep showing him himself on tape so that he can learn from that and then go out and do what you just said that Tom Brady does.
So, Leslie, unlike big-time passing teams, are you guys constructed where you're going to run it 25 to 35 times a game? Quarterback might only throw it 13, 14, or 15 times, but 70% of those passes need to count. And need to keep the defense honest, move the chains on third down. If we happen to hit a home run, we get it. But if we don't turn it over.
Well, you've kind of really described the way we are going to win football games. We're not asking our quarterback to throw it 30 or 40 times. That's not us. That's not what we aspire to be. You know, we're going to hand it off to the best running back in the National Football League, play good defense, play very good on special teams, and we're going to win that way if we don't turn the ball over and we take the football away.
But that's not necessarily what you aspire to be right now with three to go. With an offseason, with the Senior Bowl, and with the combine and the draft and free agency, of course you want to have more balance to it, I would assume, correct?
No doubt about it. I mean, we want to be able to create the balance, and we're still trying to get that done. We want to have a more balanced offensive strategy. But right now, you know, we're having a little bit of trouble in the passing game, and we're going to continue to work to create that balance, but it's a process.
Christian's such a likable guy, and he wants to do so well so quickly. Does he test your patience? I mean, does he do things repeatedly that test your patience where sometimes it's like dealing with a son?
Well, you know, he's doing everything he can to prepare every week to have success. He's working hard in practice. He's studying tape. His preparation has been great. So the success will continue to come. I mean, we're winning some games.
Yep.
We need him to play well in order for us to win against the Rams.
With Adrian Peterson, what's underrated with what he's doing?
You know, I don't know if
his patience.
I don't know if everyone can fully appreciate the patience that he's displayed and how well he's catching the ball out of the backfield as
right.
well. I mean, that part of his game, as you know, is much improved than the pass, and he's better in protection. The fact that we're leaving him in a lot more on third down, I mean, he's become a complete back in so many ways.
He tests your courage, doesn't he?
Oh.
As a defensive player, you have to be courageous to bring him down. And, you know, I brought him up last week. You've played with Walter Payton. I'm not going to say when Walter came at you that people were afraid because he was going to lay the hit on you, even though he was very physical. Mm. But Adrian delivers the hit, and he tests your courage.
Walter and Adrian, and to me, are so similar in that way, the way they finish runs. I mean, they're not guys that are looking for a place to go down or looking to get out of bounds. I mean, they will punish tacklers. And when you're a defensive player, especially a linebacker or a safety, and you see that, it can put a little doubt in your mind about how much you want to go tackle that guy.
Defensively, seemed like it was a great learning experience for Josh Robinson last week for versus the Bears. Plenty of big-time experience, lined up a fair amount opposite Brandon Marshall. Probably had a learning experience on the touchdown to Alshon Jeffery, but also had the interception and immediately found the boundary.
Yeah, he did a good job of coming up with a big play for us. And I mean, it's a learning process for him as well. As a corner in the National Football League, there are going to be times, they're going to complete some balls, but how you bounce back from that is really what defines you as a defensive back in the National Football League.
Sam Bradford, formerly the first overall pick in the draft, he's a 58% career guy. What's he look like on tape? How good is Sam Bradford?
You know, he's gone through quite a few coordinators and now head coaches in his short time in the league, and that's definitely had an effect on him, and there's been a revolving door of offensive linemen, in particular the tackle position as well. So that's kind of affected his growth. But you can see things beginning to come together for him and their offensive staff and players here at this point of the season.
With the way things finished for Christian Ponder last year, how he kept getting knocked out of games, this may be a dumb correlation, but Christian got hit a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
Sam got hit a lot early in his career. Mm-hmm. What does that do to the mindset of young quarterbacks, and how long does it take them to completely regain confidence to do what they're asked to do?
Well, I think that's a tough one for young quarterbacks. I mean, it ends up really getting you out of your fundamentals, away from the techniques that you work on in practice, because you anticipate the rush sometimes, even when it's not there. So it can take some time to get over that, but you do have to get over it.
Their coach, Jeff Fisher, you played with him 81 to 85, I believe, with mm-hmm. those nice Bears teams. What do you remember about Jeff Fisher, the player?
Very bright guy, good player, good athlete, good punt returner. I remember being able to do that. And he was a good defensive back coming out of USC as well. And just a loyal friend. I mean, just a good guy all the way around.
Did you two battle for a spot on the Bears team or a start in the spot in the starting rotation?
We were battling. We were competing.
That's
both
fantastic.
Both of us came in as corners, yeah.
Yeah, and now you'll battle again this weekend. And I remember in Tennessee, he was a very aggressive coach with his defensive approach.
Yes, he was.
Is that his identity here in St. Louis?
Yeah, they've kind of gone to that on defense. They become more aggressive as the season has gone on. They've got a very good young corner in Janaris Jackson, Jenkins, who they have a lot of confidence in, and they'll put him in some one-on-one situations. And because of that, it's allowed them to be a little bit more aggressive up front.
And Cortland Finnegan's on the other side of him. Are they very aggressive and physical?
They are. I mean, and Cortland is one of those guys who you have to – be careful with him because he's going to get in your face a little bit and talk a little bit. So, yeah, but both guys are very aggressive. A
couple of quickies to close here with Leslie on the local guys. Let's start with Wayzata's James Laurinaitis. Mm-hmm. Is he their version of Chad Greenway in how he plays?
No question. I mean, he's flying around, making a lot of plays. He calls their defense. He's really, you can tell that he's the leader of that defense, and he's a very good player.
And Craig Dahl, he played at Mankato East, North Dakota State University Bison. The safety who actually won a Super Bowl with the New York Giants. I believe he was on injured reserve, but he was on that Giants team. What's his game like?
Well, he's been playing very well. He does a good job of not giving up the big plays and deep pass defense, and he's done a good job of coming up and run support. He's a little banged up now, suffered a concussion in the Buffalo game, so we're not sure if he's going to play or not, but he's played well for him.
Fantastic conversation. We're pulling for you as usual. Only three to go. Get that victory this weekend against the Rams, and best of luck to you, all right?
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. When we return, we'll discuss offense with Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator on the Minnesota Vikings radio network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, joined by Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave. He designs the schemes that potentially have Adrian Peterson rushing for running back immortality. Mr. Musgrave, thanks for joining Vikings Live at Winter Park. Rams this weekend. How are things with you, sir? Everything well?
We are well. Thank you for having me.
No problem. In designing those schemes for Adrian Peterson, 1,600 rushing yards, about 133 a game the rest of the way to get to 2,000, 160 and change to have the most rushing yards in NFL history, I would imagine week in and week out you're seeing defensive approaches where they are stacking the proverbial box saying, go ahead, I dare you to run. Yet you continue to run, and you continue to run well. How challenging is that?
Well, Paul, they are trying to take him away. A unique thing we've seen the last few weeks is people playing more cover two, interestingly enough, against him. And, we assume the theory there is at least they've got two guys to tackle him in the secondary rather than just a single safety. They're almost trying to cap his runs at 20 yards or less rather than giving up the 50, 60, 70, or 82-yard versions.
Interesting. And you know, with the Chicago Bears, the most recent opponent, historically, or at least over the last decade or so, that's been a cover two type team. So when you say that, that doesn't surprise me. Then you go to Green Bay the week before that. What about St. Louis? How do you think St. Louis will attack your running game this Sunday?
They like to blitz a bunch. And historically, this defensive system has a blitz to stop the run. And that'll be a little bit different than what we've seen against Chicago most recently, where they're truly gap control and very sound. These guys are a little bit more chaos and a Rolodex defense.
Football insiders tell me that you have a package, and NFL-wide it's known as 22 personnel, where you have two tight ends to one side. You have an I formation, Felton in front of Adrian Peterson, a couple of tight ends, let's say, off to the right. It's the formation that the Vikings used when Adrian got the 61-yard touchdown against the Lions, the 82-yard touchdown against the Packers. When you line up in that, even if it is a probable run at like 80 or 85%, say, do you still run into it despite what the defense shows you?
We do at times. We've got some complementary concepts that are attached to that, which we've shown and will continue to show, Paul. But our guys are so good at it. We have so many turns at our runs from that formation that we feel that we can block any look presented.
Who have been some of the key contributors in front of Adrian to help him rush as explosively as he has?
Our right guard position has done a great job. A lot of times we run to the right, and we're having a lot of strength there. The fullback position, but both tight ends, whether it's a Rhett in there or John Carlson along with Kyle Rudolph have done a great job of really controlling the point of attack.
And Jerome Felton obviously is a very selfless player. He's been quoted as saying, I wanted to come to Minnesota to become a battering ram for Adrian Peterson. His most recent stop was Carolina. They'd spread it out for Cam Newton. You know, he wouldn't play that much. And when he did play, they didn't run as explosively as you guys are here. So I would imagine Jerome Felton has a lot to do with Adrian's success.
He does. He's playing a bunch of snaps, and I think everybody's collective eyebrows were raised when he played a number of snaps against Jacksonville, and we've just continued that trend, and we've gotten good production from that personnel group.
Bill, you say the right guard spot. Does that mean Brandon Fusco and Jeff Schwartz?
Both of them. Both of them. They've really done a nice job of pulling and getting out in front of Adrian on certain concepts and also moving three techniques off the line of scrimmage.
How do you guys determine the timeshare at the right guard spot?
We monitor it as the game goes along. Brandon Fusco is our starter, and then we insert their Schwartz. You know, when we feel like Brandon may need a break or we want to make a coaching point, or he may benefit from watching a series or two here or there.
You know, and Bill Musgrave, Vikings offensive coordinator, on Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'd like to, you know, ask you what type of game you think Adrian will have this weekend, but they're all so case-exclusive per game plans. I guess we'll wait to Sunday to see what happens. But with that said, when you run the way he does and you're seeing the defenses you see, do you feel the passing game should be more explosive, or is it okay the way it is?
Well, we want to get more production from the passing game. We want to complete passes when we call them. Earlier in the year, we had a high completion rate, and that really boded well for us. The last few weeks, we haven't completed as many. So whether we throw it deep, long, sideways, underhand, we want to complete them. When we run with Adrian, that's great, too. If we're having success, we're going to continue to do that. And as we know, we don't have any ego. We don't care about gaudy stats. We just want to win the game. And so we realize when we hand the ball to Adrian or run it 35 times, each of those 35 plays, we will receive exactly zero passing yards.
So, Bill, is it fair to look at the Vikings in antithetical fashion to some of the passing teams in the NFL, just from an example standpoint? Let's say New England, New Orleans when it's good, Green Bay when it's healthy. You know, they may throw it 25 or 35 times, then they're going to call on like 15 runs, and they're going to need 8 to 9 of those 15 to really count to keep defenses honest and do some damage. Is it the opposite for you guys where you're going to run it 25 to 35 times and there may be 15 passes, but you're going to need, say, 70% of those passes to really do some damage?
I'd say that's a good comparison, and that's really what we've evolved to becoming this year with Percy's injury and a young core of skill guys that are improving every week. And this week we're hoping to get more production, of course. That would make sense. At the same time, featuring Adrian.
And Christian Ponder last year was a 54% guy his rookie season after he filled in for McNabb at Soldier Field. That jumped up to like 67, 68%. It's down to 62 now. And I think over the last five games without Percy Harvin, it's been right around 52%. Does most of that have to do with not having Percy Harvin or kind of a shift in the game plan?
Probably a combination of the two. And we're hoping to ramp that back up and get it where it belongs here with the balance of games here in the final fourth quarter of the season.
You being a former quarterback, where is Christian Ponder most comfortable? When he is comfortable and performing as fast as he can, what's he doing?
Well, in the play-action game, he's done a nice job of making good fakes and throwing the ball over the defender's head. We had an incident to do that against Chicago the other day. He's also comfortable in the shotgun. He's been in the gun a number of times in high school and college, and he does a great job receiving those snaps and throwing slants and some quick game from the gun.
He finishes the Bears game with 91 yards, and on the outside, people are going to look at that bottom line and say it's just not acceptable. But really, if you look, and correct me if I'm wrong here, if you look really closely at play after play after play, like you obviously do, Christian handled the nuances of the game, the third down conversions, the not forcing the ball to Rudolph when he's covered up. Didn't he handle the nuances of the game pretty well in the Bears game?
He did. We call it situational football. That first drive, we were down there in the red area, tried to run Adrian a couple times, and all of a sudden we're in 3rd and 9. Tough situation. Decided to take a smart throw to Michael Jenkins. Michael ran and got the first down, and that was crucial for us to score on that initial drive against Chicago. And then, as you mentioned, Other third downs later in the game, made some good conversions, which kept us on the field and kept them off of it.
And even when he held it and ran, because one time there was a third and eight, maybe in the third quarter, he runs away from you guys, far side of the field in front of the Bears bench. He gets a three-yard gain, so you have to punt. But you live to play another series, where I was thinking after that play, he comes over to the sidelines, you probably tap him on the back and say, that was the right thing to do there, to not force it, let our defense play. Defense is playing well, and we'll try again.
It was. It was a tough scenario. The ball should have gone to Toby getting out of the backfield, but Toby got bottled up. He tried to get out and provide an outlet for Christian, and Toby was unable to do that. So you're right, instead of throwing it to the other guys, he was smart there late in the down.
The Rams have 39 sacks. A couple of defensive ends, I think, have combined for 17 sacks with Chris Long and Robert Quinn. It seems like that they definitely want to get after the quarterback and hit the quarterback. Does that mean they're okay against the run? How's their rush defense?
Well, I think that's what we talked about earlier. They like to blitz to stop the run. Those guys are all about rushing the passer, and that's what they live for. So defending the run may not be their strength, but they have other ways to get it done.
What about defending Kyle Rudolph, specifically in the middle of the field? Have they been decent against tight ends?
They have, but we feel like we can get Kyle loose, and we didn't feel good about Kyle only having one touch last weekend. That was on the onside kick.
Back to Christian for a second. You working with Steve Young and Joe Montana and being a quarterback by trade, can it be taught to slide up in the pocket? I mean, is that an innate thing that quarterbacks have, or can it be taught?
It can be taught, and it's something that quarterbacks work on continually, the pocket presence. And some guys have that sixth sense, and some guys don't, but they can develop it as they get turns and as they get experience.
We have Matt Khalil coming up on the radio show very shortly. What kind of season has he had?
Oh, terrific. He's just done a terrific job for us. He's taken some rookie lumps, which are expected, but he's really immersed himself in our system. He's got a lot to learn, but he makes strides every week.
What are some of the strong points of his game that maybe the casual football fan would not notice?
He's such a blessed athlete that he can really recover. The defensive ends over there on that left side of our line are tremendous athletes, and they're going to make you feel a little bit off balance or make you look silly at times, but Matt does a great job of recovering when those guys do get him in a compromising spot.
Fellow rookie Jarius Wright, how's he progressing?
He's doing a nice job, too. We hit him on a couple shorter routes the other day against Chicago, and he's got good quickness and very reliable. The quarterbacks know where he's going to be. He's at the right depth at the right time, so you can throw to him with anticipation.
That deep pass, Bill, center of the field to Devin Aromashadu, from afar it looked like it was a good pass. What does Devin have to do to close on that, or was it just a good defensive play?
Probably a combination of number 33 making a good play, and Devin would want to try to catch that at its highest point, but it looked like 33 had a little bit to do with that and allowed the ball to get too low from an altitude standpoint.
Peanut Tillman, he's been to Hanley School. He's handled that, obviously, all of his career. What about the deep shot to Jarius Wright that came up short? It was an interception.
I thought Christian had time to stay in the pocket and hit the launch button and get it down the field. He slid to the left, ran into Matt Khalil, and then it was too late for him to get it down there in a timely fashion. And, of course, anything late down the middle of the field is going to be picked by one, two, or possibly three guys in that area.
So is there anything with the game coming more naturally to a quarterback playing the quarterback spot? Is there anything that he can learn from that to not do it again, about Christian?
Oh, you bet. You bet. He can stay in the pocket next time and throw it earlier and further. So Jarius can catch it behind that Mike backer exactly where he was.
When working with Christian, can you be firm, or do you need to do it with kid gloves because he's a second-year guy?
Very firm. He takes all kinds of coaching. So there's no hesitation in saying anything to him at any time.
Good luck this weekend, and thanks for the conversation.
Thank you, Paul.
That's Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Free the Fan.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen now joined by outstanding rookie left tackle Matt Khalil. Welcome to the radio show, Matt. How are things going this season?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Got the St. Louis Rams this weekend. What are some of the pass rushing challenges the Rams present?
You know, they definitely run a different kind of defense. There's a lot of moving parts involved. You know, defenders line up in different fronts that we've seen. And a lot of one-timer looks on film. So I think, you know, we kind of got it down, and we got a good game plan against them going.
We just had offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave on, and he said they try to stop the run by blitzing. Or they play run defense out of the blitz. First time I've heard that all season. What does it mean?
Yeah, you know, they definitely blitz a lot. It's kind of, first time we'll ever face a team like like this. You know, they blitz a lot on the run, and you know, they're definitely going to get after it, you know, especially the way we run the ball.
Are they a physical type team or more of a finesse pass rushing type team?
You know, they definitely flow fast to the ball, so it's definitely an aggressive defense from what I've seen on film.
Are you enjoying yourself this year? Here we are 13 games into it, 14 weeks into it. Are you enjoying yourself?
No, I've had fun, and I think that's the whole key. If you have fun, you know, I haven't hit that rookie wall yet. You know, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. You know, we're winning games, playing well, and we're kind of still in the playoff hunt. So it's kind of been fun, and, you know, I've been motivated all season to keep improving game by game. And, you know, season's kind of gone by fast for me.
What are some things on which you do need to improve through the final three games?
It's always everything. I don't think there's one, you know, blatant, you know, weakness in my offensive game. I think, you know, maybe if I'm lacking on some games and certain technique things that I need to, you know, kind of sharpen up week by week and kind of stay on focus. But, you know, it's usually just the game kind of slowing down for me and me getting more comfortable out there. I think that's what I've improved on mostly.
Defensively, how's the speed of the game compared to what you last saw at USC?
You know, it's a lot faster, and that's with every level. When you go to high school, to college, NFL, you know, that's always the main thing. It's the size of the guys and you know, hands down, the speed. You know, a lot of veterans out there have been playing for 10-plus years that can – you know the play before the ball's even snapped. And so it's about knowing your assignments and getting off the ball and kind of getting the defender's face.
What about going against Julius Peppers two times?
Yeah, he's definitely a handful to deal with. One thing I learned about him, you can't let him find any weakness in your game, because once he smells blood, he's gonna get after you. And you know, I got that one holding call against him. I stole that sack from him. But you know, definitely a great guy. You know, I've known him since you know, he played my brother in Carolina. So you know, we're kind of talking out there a little bit. But you know, hands down, the best player I've ever.
And your brother Ryan, one of the better centers in the National Football League, been out for a majority of the season due to injury. Does that afford you the opportunity to talk to him more during the season? Does he watch your games and maybe give you some pointers?
Yeah, it's kind of the same. You know, he was after his games that he'd pull up film of my games and still watch me. So you know, that's big brother right there watching me and kind of helped me out with anything I need help with. You know, more now than ever, just because he's sitting around the house, can't really walk that well yet. But you know, he'll get back next year and he'll be all right.
Outside of the blocked field goal Julius Peppers had against the Vikings at Soldier Field, you know, I'm not going to say that you completely shut him down, but we didn't call Julius Peppers' name as much as we have in the past. Was your brother able to tell you some things about Julius's game, kind of like he did about going against Jared Allen early in training camp?
Yeah, you know, that was more, you know, talking to Jordan Groh. I'm friends with Jordan Groh, too, and he helped me out a little bit. And, you know, obviously they played against each other for another year being on the same team and all. So I got a little help from there. And, you know, mostly just my film study, you know, staying true to that and always watching film and being a student of the game.
As a left tackle, Matt Khalil's our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. What's it like blocking for Adrian Peterson?
It's fun. It's fun out there, you know, especially the Bears game. You know, that first opening play, just kind of that first play just to the house for a touchdown. And then that's what we talk about going into games. We want to be a physical team. We want to run the ball. And, you know, he's just the – you know, perfect example of that, you know, how he runs, how hard he runs, and how many big plays he makes every game.
You've seen a lot of 3-4 defenses this year, and you're going to see some the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine at USC or in college football, you didn't see nearly as many 3-4 defenses as you've seen this year, correct?
No, actually, you know, the Pac-12, there's quite a few. It's probably about half and half in the Pac-12, about 34 front teams.
Right.
And I think that made it a little easier for me, kind of running a similar offense at USC, a pro-style offense, and going against those type of defenses. But obviously the terminology is different, but you know, I was a little used to watching those 34 fronts.
How are defensive ends in the 3-4 defense different than the 4-3? Like Julius Peppers outside of a 4-3,
yeah,
or somebody outside of a 3-4?
Well, I think, you know, those four-down defenses, you'll see a lot more bigger defensive ends, built more to stop the run and all that. But, I mean, I don't think Julius Peppers is a different exception, because he's big and fast, and
yeah,
he can probably play in any defense. But rather than those 34 fronts, you're going against that stand-up rusher like Clay Matthews and those big, strong, you know, super fast at linebacker type of guys. So, you know, it's just a different scheme. You know, a lot more two-gap players in that 34 front. And I just schematically, like I said, you know, it's different blocking schemes.
30 seconds, protecting the blind side of Christian Ponder. What's that like, given he moves as much as he does?
You know, it's just about giving him as much time as he can, and, you know, making the right decision and you know, throwing a good ball. you know, that's all I can do as far as my responsibility is hold my defender off and make sure he doesn't hit him. So, you know, I think I've done a good job of that so far, and I'll keep doing it.
Thank you very much for joining the show.
Appreciate it.
Matt Khalil, rookie left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings. We thank him for joining us, and we remind you to protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, Buffalo Wild Wings discounts, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com coming up shortly. He'll handicap the Vikings and the Rams when we return to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Talk, FM 100.3, KFAN.
The Fan.
Alrighty, now let's wrap up Vikings Live at Winter Park. Thanks for listening. We thank head coach Leslie Frazier, offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave, and left tackle Matt Khalil for joining us. And now we welcome Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com into the conversation to take a look at the St. Louis Rams. This is our adversarial update. And if you missed this, you'll have an opportunity to hear Wobby tomorrow on my 9 to noon radio show on the flagship, KFAN and KFAN.com. The Friday Football Feast featuring Paul Charchian is at Buffalo Wild Wings in Champlin tomorrow. Mike Wobshaw joins the conversation at about 10:15, and you can follow him via Twitter at Wobby, W-O-B-B-Y, or, of course, follow his video and or writing skills online at Vikings.com. Get that complete schedule for the Friday Football Feast via my show page, the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. Vikings Rams, what do you got?
I can't wait for the game. I mean, here we are, Paul, in the middle of December, and
yes,
we have
Michael.
Meaningful games.
Yes, Michael.
You know, it's been a couple of seasons. We were 9-23 over the past two seasons, and these December games, all you and I could think about is going to the scouting combine in February and, you know, and figuring out what we're going to do in the offseason. Now we get to worry about games. Three more to go, and we probably are going to need our best effort in all three of them to beat these three teams. It starts on Sunday in St. Louis. If you beat the Rams, you knock them out of the playoffs. I mean, they are still alive.
Yep.
Because of that tie with San Francisco, so we're going to get their best effort. We haven't been to St. Louis since 2009, so we'll have to reacquaint ourselves with the city and go into that building and beat them.
Boy, these Rams are a tricky figure. Looking back at a couple of their games, knowing that they tied and beat San Francisco,
yeah,
and looking at some of their stats, how bad they are on third down conversions,
yeah,
how methodical they are in moving the ball, yet they get this rookie Chris Givens behind the defense. Five consecutive games, Chris Givens had a reception of at least 50 yards,
mm-hmm,
which means they can be explosive. But look, they're just a very tricky team to figure out because they're trying so hard to be terrible, but they just can't get it
Here's
done.
Here's the thing, yeah. I wish that we would have played them when they were playing as they were playing before their bye.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a little bit better since their bye. You got into that with Leslie Frazier. But,
mm-hmm,
you know, Sam Bradford has been a little bit better since their bye 5 weeks ago. He's got a 7-3 touchdown-to-interception ratio, and he's about 60% passer on the season, which is above his career mark of 58%.
Yep.
So he's been better since the bye. Now, you know, you don't want to challenge them and provide bulletin board material, but this is not a gaudy passing numbers group,
yeah,
a 300-yard passing number group. But Sam Bradford is careful with the ball. He doesn't turn it over a bunch. They don't give up a bunch of sacks. They,
yep,
don't throw a ton of interceptions. They're careful with the ball. So Vikings are going to have to be buttoned up, but, you know, Paul, we've seen this Vikings secondary improve quite a bit in their pass coverage, and a lot of their statistics are middle of the road right now, but if you consider the fact that we were bottom of the barrel last season in all those categories, that's quite an improvement, and I really want to credit the defensive backs for their improvement in pass coverage. We have 91 pass deflections,
yeah,
pass breakups this season.
Yep.
We had 64 all of last year, so we're already almost 30 over where we were last year, and we still have three more games to go. So, you know, I've really been impressed with their improvement.
Now, one thing that definitely is solid for them is the physicality and the aggressive approach provided by their cornerbacks, rookie Janoris Jenkins,
yeah,
and veteran Cortland Finnegan. And I've always been a fan of Cortland Finnegan's. He's just very tough. He's very good against the run. He always has a bunch of tackles. He's aggressive. He's a gambler. But you having guys like Cortland Finnegan on your team get everybody motivated and everybody
for
pumped
sure
up. I've always liked Cortland Finnegan. This rookie, Janoris Jenkins, I mean, we could not have talked more about him. Mm-hmm. From the first time you set your eyes on him in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl, mm-hmm. I'd never heard of him, from his days at Florida. He went to something called North Alabama. You were raving about him on my 9 to noon radio show. You do some research into it. You see this negative thing here, a bunch of bad off-the-field things. And then you hear what he did in North Alabama and at Florida. Then you watch him during the course of the year. And he did have a bad disciplinary moment with St. Louis within the last month. Mm-hmm. But overall, he's been a fantastic player for them.
Three interceptions.
Yeah.
Me and Cortland each have three picks.
Two touchdowns in one game against Arizona.
Yeah, impressive. And he's fluid. He can move. He's sudden. He's good in short area. He's got long speed. And, yeah, I mean, he starts for him. He's a rookie corner who's starting. So he and Finnegan is a nice tandem. I mean, you want to talk about cornerback tandems in the NFL?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be mad if you think this is one of the better ones. So, and you know what I think allows them to be aggressive, and you put me on this earlier in the week, is their pass rush, specifically at defensive end, mm-hmm. with Robert Quinn and Chris Long. Mm-hmm. Brendan Daly, our defensive line coach, was the Rams' defensive line coach for three seasons before this year.
Yep.
And this happened quite a while ago, not even thinking about our matchup with St. Louis. But I was asking him about some of the Rams players earlier in the season. And I said, what about Chris Long? You know, his dad's a Hall of Famer, Howie Long. And he told me that there was a lot of pressure on Chris to be a really good player really early because he was a high draft pick and his dad and the whole bit. And he didn't perform that well right away. But since then, he's really rounded into form. And now he's one of their better defensive players and one of the better defensive ends in the NFL. So he and Robert Quinn coming off the edge and the way they can rush the passer, I think that allows those cornerbacks to be more aggressive because they know quarterbacks are going to have to get rid of the ball early. And that sometimes causes quarterbacks to take chances. And that's why those corners have been so aggressive. So to your point about these cornerbacks, they are very good. And I give a lot of credit to that pass rush for the reason why those corners have played so well. But I also think that's going to open up an opportunity for the Vikings offense.
This is Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com on Vikings Live at Winter Park. This is an important game for Christian Ponder. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and predict 252-0.
No.
I'm not even going to say what I hope he gets to help us win. Why I say it's important for him is because I spent all week on the radio and all of this show with people who know more about it than us talking about the nuances of the game and just how the subtleties have to come naturally to this young man mm-hmm. because the explosive game is not going to happen repeatedly. We're not going to have five plays of 50 yards or more any game the rest of the season or in the postseason if we happen to make it. Now, why I say Christian is smart in this game, because after watching Vikings game plan related film with Ben Lieber, Leslie Frazier, you and the other guys, the Rams try to confuse you so much at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah.
Christian has to look at that thing and he has to make the right decision at the line
pre-snap,
yes. to make sure they're in the right play. So forget Christian's bottom line in this game outside of the interceptions, which we obviously hope he has none. The young man has to get, he and John Sullivan have to get them squared away pre-snap for us to win.
It's a bottom line business, and there's a lot of people who are going to look at the box score, and that's how they predicate their opinions. And they're not going to be gaudy passing numbers, most likely, but you've heard Leslie Frazier talk about this. They're not asking that of our offense to have gaudy passing numbers. Not when you have a running back with seven straight 100-yard games
yep.
Who's challenging Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing mark. You're not going to have gaudy numbers. That's just not how you're going to win with the way this team is constructed right now. But to your point, the pre-snap judgments that Christian is going to have to make, no question about it. Now, it's hard to evaluate how well he's doing in that area when you're watching the game on TV or listening in the radio or for you and I in the box
yep.
Watching the game. It's hard for us to know because we're not keyed into some of the tells on the Rams defense,
yep.
but it's a bottom line business. So if we have offensive production, our yards per play is up and we're winning the game, obviously that means Christian's doing a good job. But you're exactly right that this is an important game for Christian Ponder to make those pre-snap judgments. And I think he's done a fairly good job of that this season. I mean, we really haven't heard Bill Musgrave talk about how he needs to improve in that area or Christian Ponder. You know, he's quite honest with himself. If
yep.
you listen to his press conferences, he's never really gotten hard on himself for needing to be better in that area. He gets hard on himself for needing needing to be better physically. So I think the pre-snap judgments thing with Christian Ponder, I think we're going to be okay in that area.
St. Louis is very aggressive. Here's what the audience needs to know is they flood the line of scrimmage with a lot of different players. They try to show you they're going to blitz every play, but they don't blitz every play. Mm-hmm. But when they do, it's very unpredictable. But guess what? If you do it at the wrong time and you let this running back get to the second level, you're going to give up a 90-yard touchdown.
Right.
So if they want to be aggressive and if they want to blitz as much as they're going to, they better hit on 8 out of every 10, because if they don't, the running back's going to have 300 yards.
Well, I got into this with Michael Russo, who filled in with you 9 to noon today. And, you know, I said this Rams defense, you look at their numbers against the run, it looks okay. They're, I think, something like 13th overall against the run, 110 yards a game, and that's fine. But when they play a top 5 rushing offense, it's 230 yards given up a game.
My God.
To me, the more important number is teams run the ball against the Rams, those top 5 rushing teams, 33 times a game.
Mm-mm.
Every other team, 24 times a game. So if you're a good running team, the ticket is to keep pounding away. That's what I think the Vikings are going to do on Sunday, just like they did to the Bears.
Give me 10 seconds as to why people should go to Vikings.com to watch the work you did with Kenny Mayne.
Kenny Mayne. God, I mean, we had him on the Wobcast, and he was hilarious. I can't take much credit for how funny it is. It's all Kenny Mayne, but it was a blast to have him on there, and he was just brilliant. Everything he does is funny.
I'll see you at Buffalo Wild Wings Champlin tomorrow.
Thanks,
okay?
Paul. See ya.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. Again, Buffalo Wild Wings Champlin tomorrow for my radio show, The Friday Football Feast. We thank Jay and Joe Nelson for producing Vikings Live at Winter Park. The executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network is Chad Abbott. Executive producer of the Vikings Entertainment Network is Brian Harper. For all of us with The Fan and the Minnesota Vikings and the Vikings Entertainment Network, I'm Paul Allen. That's Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.